Okay, we continue our readings in Matthew. We're in chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Let us listen. Let us hear. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to my wedding banquet." But they made light of it and went away to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, burned their city. He said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." Those slaves went out to the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed there was a man who was not wearing a wedding robe. He said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. The king said to his attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
One of the great mysteries of Christianity is, what is heaven going to be like? And we get glimpses of it. There's one thing in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians that makes it sound like we're going to be caught up in the clouds. And then there are others that give us different pictures of it. And I think the words that stick with me are that no mind has conceived, no eye has seen what the Father has prepared for us. But it doesn't stop us from wondering. It doesn't stop us from thinking. It doesn't stop us from trying to picture it. When I was in the peak of my running career and things were really going well, Nike put out a poster. And the poster showed a person, and they were running, and there was a path that seemed to go on forever through the trees and off into the sunset. And the heading on the bottom said, "There is no finish line." And to me, at that moment, that encompassed my idea of what heaven must be like, when I could just run forever. No traffic, no bad footing, no bad weather, just a beautiful path running through heaven as far as the eye can see. I've heard some people say, "I think it's the most beautiful lake you've ever seen." With me in a boat, a lake filled with bass, no limit, and no sunset. But you see, I think we all picture that. We all picture a piece of heaven the way we think it ought to be. And I gotta say that I don't think there's any problem with that. My favorite praise song is one that it's "I Can Only Imagine." And you sit there and wonder if you will be jumping for joy or whether you'll be struck silent. But I think it's important to take a look at what Jesus teaches about heaven. Because if there's anybody that knows, he would be the one, right? The kingdom of heaven can be paired to a king that threw a great banquet. I don't know if you caught a hold of this, but there is this understanding that the Judaic and Christian religions are both centered around feasts. The idea of a banquet, breaking bread together, being together at a celebration. And it's not just any banquet, it's a wedding banquet. A wedding banquet for his son. So what we have is Christ about to be wedded to his bride, the church. A celebration is thrown and people find reasons not to go. It's interesting sometimes to listen to what people will say about heaven. The one that stuns me the most is, you mean I can't go to heaven if I don't believe in Jesus? Well, seeing as heaven is a great banquet to celebrate the life and the marriage of Jesus, it doesn't make a lot of sense. They say, well, my heaven wouldn't look like that. Well, at that moment, you're making a great leap, aren't you? My heaven wouldn't look like that? Where did you build your heaven? Jesus is inviting you to his heaven, the one that formed before the beginning of time. Now, I do take a pause and I'm trying to figure out the condemnations as it was toward the end, because I love the part where he says, they went out to the streets and they gathered all who they had found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. I'm saying, yeah, I'm liking this story. This is the way it's supposed to be. But then there's someone not wearing a robe. And I was looking at this, and there's an author, his name is Peter Kreft. And Peter looked at this, and he looked at that, and he says, it's almost as if the person came for the food and not for the wedding. I wonder about that, and that does make sense. Friend, how did you get here without a wedding robe? And he was speechless. It was as if he forgot about the wedding part. What is the song? I'm here for the party and not for the one for whom the party is for. But I'm struck by this gathering everyone that is found. Because I think, again, the same people who said, well, my heaven wouldn't look like that, would be also ones who want to alter the guest list. Can you imagine being invited to a party? Coming in and say, oh, no, this isn't going to work at all. You know, everybody take your ties and jackets off. This is going to be shirt sleeves only. But it's not your party. Or walk in and go, oh, I'm sorry. You've got to go. I'm not going to go to a party that you're at. If it's not your party, you don't get to decide the guest list either, do you? One of the things that's hard for me to do is I heard a sermon by Billy Graham many years ago. And he said, I find myself dreaming about heaven and I wake up and I see somebody who's been a thorn in my side my entire life and I realize they're in heaven and I'm furious. And then I go and I'm looking for people and I'm checking off the people that I wanted to see when I got to heaven and I realize that some of them aren't there. And I'm furious. And then as I'm stomping down the road, I realize that I'm there. And I'm just thankful. I think that is the piece of the story that I want you to hold fast to. The kingdom of heaven is like a great banquet that God throws for his son Jesus and his bride, the church. There are those who would want it to be something else. There are those who would want it to be some other way. There would be some who want to decide who gets in and who gets out. But at the end of the sermon, Billy Graham says, the thing is that what we don't realize is there's only one person who can keep you from heaven. And it's not me. It's you. If you insist on designing heaven your own way, deciding who gets in and who gets out, deciding on what terms you're going to accept it, then you're not going to get in. If you accept it as a gift and realize all are invited, you've done it. You're invited. The banquet has started. There's a seat for you. And Jesus waits. I find it fascinating because the words about heaven from the only one who would know. So the slaves went in the streets and gathered all that they had found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed someone not wearing the wedding robe. Accept the invitation, as it's written. You're all invited, and the only one that can keep you out is you. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, we just give you thanks. We give you thanks for an invitation that is eternal and everlasting, an opportunity to enter the great banquet you throw for your son. Help us to understand that the only person that can help turn down the invitation is us. And the invitation is already sent. Help us to accept it with grace. To live a life of thanksgiving as a result. And to enter into that banquet in the life to come. Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and minds of understanding. Amen.